Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top-brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome to Sports Day. Well, it's official. Summer is officially here, the first day of December, and it's been a pretty windy day, and I know that that wind is going to persist over the next few days, looking a little bit better over the weekend, but then it's going to blow all of next week as well. 133-882 is our number. Ashton Turner has been announced as captain of our BBL team. He will lead them for this season after leading them into the final unsuccessfully last season. Justin Langer, as we know, has been revealed as heading to Tasmania to meet with Tim Payne on compassionate grounds. Just some of the news that's bubbling around today, and there's a lot more. Paul Hazelby, good evening to you.
Good evening to you too, Carl, and all the listeners out there. One thing that caught my eye today, Carl, I want to discuss is the COVID protocols for the NBL that have been put in place. So if a player is unavailable for selection due to COVID-19, they can replace that player. Now, the replacement player can obviously play for other clubs, but it's on a week-by-week basis or match-by-match basis where they get a payment. They must have at least 8 players for every game. If they can't find those 8 players, then they can negotiate to postpone that match. Is this going to be the standard, Carl, across all the sports? You link that to cricket, you link that to the AFLW and the AFL eventually, that if they have people that do contract COVID through that period, that you can just go out and replace them. Now, clearly in the AFL, you have bigger lists and you're going to be able to find them. But for some of the others, it won't be as easy.
No, it won't be as easy. I'm interested as to where the players are going to come from. Now, I'm assuming that they would come out of the state leagues and that will be a scenario whereby it also intrigues me around being contracted on a game-by-game basis and must be released from their contract once the player being replaced is cleared to return. So it might mean 14 days, so you might be playing for or contracted for a couple of weeks. Then you go back into the pool, and then if the next club gets it, you can be playing for another club. I find that to be quite intriguing. At the same time, how desperate do they need to get, and when are they going to be confronted with those sorts of scenarios? So, and how many clubs are going to be affected? These are all unknown answers at the moment and questions that everyone, I think, would want to ask tonight on 133-882. But for me, in principle, it sounds okay. But what if the WAFL's running, for example, and all of a sudden West Coast need 10 players? Well, they're going to say take 10 players out of the Subiaco Football Club.
You would think the players would want to do that for that 1 week. And we've seen movies where you have the replacement players that come in where there's a contract strike. So potentially there is that opportunity.
But
a bit different in footy because of big lists.
What does it do for then the lower level competitions? You know, that's what I'd be interested to hear from the audience tonight at 133-882, whether they think that that's something that's workable. On the face value of it for basketball, it's a lot easier because they only need a lot less. And they've always got to have that, as you just explained, the mandatory 8 players available at any one time, so that's not a lot.
It shows that the attitude, isn't it, is that the show must go on, that they're not going to stop or postpone games given 1 case, 2 cases, 3 cases of COVID-19.
Well, I suppose, do we get to a point where it's like having the flu, right? Because going forward, is it going to be like this forever with COVID?
Well, if you look at the mutations and the different variants,
yeah,
absolutely.
But once we're opened up, holus bolus, which we're not, but once we are, so once West Australia's open up, Queensland, Tassie, and they join the rest of the country pretty much, what happens then? Do you, or are you, I mean, for example, you might have COVID but have no symptoms. You might be asymptomatic. So therefore, like having the flu, some people can play with the flu, some people can't. Should you just be allowed to play?
They'll separate them because you don't want to put them in that scenario around your team, just in case there are some
that are more affected.
And if you do all have the flu, and we saw Geelong and they didn't use it as an excuse, but they went into that final against, they played Melbourne and they were crook all week. So it does play a part in the result with that. But you may think that some of the assistant coaches for some of these clubs that are recently retired in the NBL that are working as an assistant coach, they may be called upon just to sit on the bench because you don't have to play them all. You only need 5 players and they can get through at least 1 game, you'd think, without rotation.
Now, we know that the AFLW fixture is going to be released tomorrow. They've given us a little bit of a sneak peek. But there's speculation today around Wednesday night football to kick off round 1 That Fremantle will get the first home game, which they deserve. They haven't had it for 2 years now, so they deserve to get round one. So there'll be no surprise there to see that happen in the fixture. It's still being mooted that I think Richmond and Carlton will kick off the season, though, at this point on the Thursday. Now, whether there's a Wednesday game, not sure.
Well, there is talk of a Wednesday game, and it would be a grand final rematch, Carl. How do you feel about the grand final rematch being the opener? For me, I like it this year because both of those clubs, and in particular Melbourne supporters, they missed out on the grand final. So to go back, and I know they've got a big occasion this weekend where they should get 40,000 to come and celebrate, but I think round one at the MCG, Melbourne Western Bulldogs for this year only, makes a lot of sense.
All right, 133-882. We'd love to hear from you. A grand final rematch and Wednesday night footy, is that something that appeals to you? 133-882. Line up, get in the queue, and we'll take your calls. It's Wednesday wine night as well. If you want to have a wine at something, something that's got up your goat, imagine the best DM breaker, the world's best rock breakers, you can call after this. It's 13 minutes, almost 14 minutes after 6.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top-brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
It's Wednesday wine night. Imagine the best DM breaker, distributors of the world's best rock breakers, dmbreaker.com.au. Do you like what the NBL has introduced with the COVID replacement player rule? How would you like a grand final rematch to kick off the AFL season? And do you like Wednesday night football in the AFL, which is being mooted for their fixture announcements for the AFL season, which comes up next week? The AFLW season fixture is going to be announced tomorrow.
And what do you want, West Coast supporters and Fremantle supporters? What do you want more of when we're looking at the release of the fixtures? What sort of games? And what do you want less of? Particularly the Fremantle Dockers. I know they've had a lot of Sunday games in recent times. I reckon Fremantle might be due for some bigger blockbusters. So get on the phone.
Just quickly before we go to the phones, massive crash at the top of Mount Panorama forced the practice two for the Super 2 series to be red flagged at Bathurst. Declan Fraser, thankfully, was able to leave the car under his own power. But tell you what, he lost a wheel nut, Hayes, on the right rear at the top of the hill, going downhill at speed. Thankfully, he was able to turn the car. The brunt of the force of the collision went into the safety fence, and then he was able to again switch the car and spin the car around and thankfully stopped in the middle of the track. So he was able to walk away unharmed, which is great. So action to continue there, and the big boys with their toys going to be in action tomorrow with their first practice session as Brad in Bassendean joins us. G'day, Brad.
How are you, Carl? How are you, Paul?
We're good.
Mate, I'm really happy with the grand final rematch being the first game. I mean, I can't watch Carlton get pumped by Richmond every year. I don't know about you.
It's so true, isn't it? We're talking about that off air, that it hasn't been healthy for the competition. It's been great for those two clubs, particularly Richmond in recent times, that have beat up on Carlton. It wasn't always that way, but I think maybe it should be shared around. It is a big blockbust. Everybody's waiting for it. And for two clubs to get it every year, not deserving.
So should it be rotated, though, or should it just be every year, lock it in stone, the way to kick off the new season is a grand final rematch?
No, I don't think every year, because sometimes you might have Collingwood and Essendon that play off in the grand final, and then obviously they normally play Anzac Day. It might be the West Coast Eagles and Fremantle. So I think sometimes you need to spread those ones out across the year to make it all work.
What do you reckon, Brad?
I think why not have it every year? I mean, with the Essendon Collingwood game, you can always refixture that. They can always have the Anzac Day. They play twice a year anyway, so I don't see the point.
All right. So Brad reckons every year, and he'd love to see the Western Bulldogs take on Melbourne. Good on you, mate. Thanks for joining in. To Lisa in Allenbrook, good evening to you, Lisa. 133-882. We'd love to hear your opinions. What do you reckon, Lace?
Hi, Carl. Hi Hayes. Melbourne and Bulldogs, definitely, and I think they should have the grand final replay every year to start off the season. And with the Eagles, I think they should be having a Saturday game, either an early game or a twilight game, so people that are travelling can, get to the game and then get home and have Sunday to do whatever they need to do. Because if you have it on a Sunday and you have a twilight game, you know, kids have got to go to school the next day, and I just think, I reckon that just have it on a Saturday afternoon.
country members hate it, don't they? The late Sunday games. For them to get back, particularly from where I am from, it's a five-hour trip. And there's a lot of West Coast Eagles fans up there, a lot of Fremantle fans that do like to make the trip down. For them, it makes a lot of sense on the Saturday, so then they can wrap something around it and have a good night out.
Yeah, a lot of those from the southwest too, Hayes. I mean, it still takes two and a half hours if you're coming down from, say, Bustle and Bunbury, that sort of area. So, yeah, it's certainly a bugbear for many. It's like the early starts on a Friday too, and no transport, no public transport as well. That's something that a lot of the punters don't like. Muzza in Beckenham. G'day, Muzz.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Look, I've just done it a couple of minutes ago. I heard you talking about grand final rematch. My point of view is it's not a grand final, so why is it called a grand final rematch? You play grand final once a year, mate. So why is it, or who would come up with the idea of calling it a grand final rematch?
And is there the interest in it? Like, when it doesn't mean anything, does
what do you,
it? Like,
what do you mean
it's done and dusted?
It's a rematch of the two grand final teams, Muzz.
Yeah, but like, it's not a grand final as such. It was called the grand final rematch.
Well, it's a rematch of the grand final teams then.
I get that part, but just a bit weird how to say.
So yes or no,
rematch.
Yes or no, would you like to see the two teams that play off in the grand final scheduled to play each other first to kick off round one or not?
Well, that wouldn't be a bad idea. They get the gripes at the one side. Who's better, I guess, or if they're still number one from last year.
But that means nothing. It absolutely means nothing who wins that one. For me, I'm going to say no, Carl, except for next year because of what happened with many of the Melbourne supporters, and it's been a very long time since they've tasted success. They missed out. So I think an unveiling for them would be very special, and they should be able to pack it out against the Western Bulldogs over there.
Thanks, Muzz. Let's go to the Mouse. Good evening.
Hey, I actually agree with both of you. I think the grand final on a Wednesday night, because they have a week and a half leading up to the season anyway where they don't play practice games, a Wednesday night blockbuster, because they don't have rugby league games or anything else on, showcasing Melbourne versus Bulldogs, that would be sellout number one. And I think you're 100% right. Agree, Melbourne rewards all their supporters and all the people that missed out last year. And just on a couple of other things, they had just talked about the transport before. I believe last week at the stadium for the girls' Big Bash final, there was no special transport, so people came to the city expecting to get buses out and they had to wait hours. They were that late to the game. When they got to the game, there was only one gate open in 37-degree heat. So it's what I got told by people in the queue. And I just think the whole thing needs to be organised, and maybe it just needs a change at the whacker at the top and whole new administration right through there. Just have a bit of a broom clean and start again and just get the whole place going nicely, because I would really hate to be that membership manager at the WACA, refunding all the people for their membership, because I know a lot of people who are now crying to say, 3 years in a row, no test, we want our money back.
Do you blame the WACA for that, though,
it's
Mouse?
It's not the WACA's problem, though,
is that
Mouse?
The government's issue?
And it's Cricket Australia.
No.
But the Cricket Australia are the ones that schedule with our state government the tests fixture. It's got nothing to do with the WACA.
No, I don't blame the WACA at all for that part of it. Mm. I'm just saying I feel sorry for the membership person that has to cop all the crap from for the angry people that, you know, paid all the memberships 2 or 3 years in a row and are getting nothing for their memberships. You know, I feel really sorry for them. So I actually think, tell you the truth, the government should have WACA and the AFL teams.
But you've just said that you want to get rid of those that are running the WACA on the basis of what? Because we haven't had international cricket here, and that's why they got just rid of the chairman of Cricket Australia in Earl Eddings, is because of that very reason, because we'd failed to have matches scheduled here by the Australian, by Cricket Australia. So...
No, I just think after 13 or 15 years, I think... Well, I'll tell you the truth, I actually didn't like what Christina Matthews said about Tasmania. I thought that was very disrespectful, saying, you know, that don't worry about getting a Tasmanian cricket test because, you know, the printer wasn't dry and all that sort of stuff. I thought that was pretty disrespectful for a team that's 1/6 a shareholder in Australian cricket. I think she shouldn't have just said that. I think she just, you know, just sometimes, and I've even been, you know, guilty of this a lot of times, sometimes you just got to say nothing and let the things go. And, you know, it comes around to bite you on the bum sometimes. And I think that, you know, even though she's been there 14 years, she's done some good things. But I'm just saying that sometimes things just have to change eventually, you know.
All right. Fair enough. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. And thanks for giving yours. 133-882. If you agree, if you're a WACA member, are you disgruntled? And have you paid your hard-earned and haven't got what you've paid for? And Are you prepared to leave your money in the melting pot? We've seen with a lot of the AFL clubs and their members, they never got what they had paid for, but they are happy just to support their teams and their clubs. Are you 133 882 to Joan in Waikiki? G'day, Joan.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the grand finalists playing the opening game of the next season. Mm-hmm. Of course they should play. They earn that right to open the season. In the past, what interest have people got in watching Richmond and Carlton? And there have been so many one-sided games. And the AFL have to realise that it's AFL now, not VFL.
So would you be happy, let's say it's a West Coast Fremantle Grand Final, would you be happy for the following season for a Wednesday night kickoff here at Optus Stadium? How would that sit with the fans?
Definitely. It's the right of the grand finalists to open the season the next year.
One thing I do Carlton and Richmond, sorry there, Joan, opening up, is they do always get a big crowd. And the games haven't been fantastic, but they do come out in spades. And I think whatever it is, the opener has to have a big crowd, in my opinion, to really kick off things.
Well, that's according to the AFL, but what about the fans?
All right, good on you. Let's and Jan's one of those fans, so they should be listening to the fans.
Joan.
Yeah, did I say Joan?
Oh, you took out the O.
Oh, sorry.
Jan.
Jan. Sorry. Hey,
John.
Sorry, Joan. Okay, thank you. Then
that's
thank.
Okay. Is that you, Carl?
Yes, it is.
I have met you, and my mother has met you.
Oh God.
Oh, tell us.
Was I behaving myself?
No, at one of the old football lunches.
Oh yeah.
At Waikiki.
Yeah, was I behaving myself?
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Oh, that's good.
You always behave.
Not always. Thanks for your call. There was a derby, of course. When was the last derby that was played? Opening round between West Coast and Freo. It was a Freo home game.
Tell me.
2013. So it wasn't that long ago. But, you know, and Freo are entitled to the home game, first home game this year. They've played Collingwood in round one. They've played Port Adelaide in round one. In 16, they played the Western Bulldogs. In 17, they played Geelong. In 18, they played Port Adelaide. In 19, they played North Melbourne. In 20, they played Essendon. And last year, they played Melbourne. The last 2 years, West Coast have had the first game at home. So it is likely, and it should be, Freo playing round one here. I just wonder who their opponents are going to be. Do you know?
I don't know. Oh. Would they like it, round one,
yes.
West Coast, a derby round one? The clubs, would they like it?
No, I'm not sure that Freo. No, I don't think Freo.
Because even though it's just a game, the build up to it's pretty big, and sometimes, you know, it can take a little bit out of the players. And they do play each other in the pre-season, don't they? So you could end up with playing them 2 weeks before and then round one. So I think the clubs would prefer it to be around that round 5-6 mark.
But Freo definitely are going to be granted round one here. Just the opponent, not sure yet. Tony in Dianella. G'day.
Oh, good evening, chaps. I just had to ring up after Mouse's comments. I don't know what more Christina can do. I think, to be fair, the comments she made that he was picking on, she also said, good on Tassie for having a go. And if you have anything to do with the Whacker, I'm a member, and I'll happily, you know, not ask for my membership back because I know they're doing the very best they can. And the culture through that place, anyone you meet in that organisation is extraordinarily well-led. So it's a bit like when a footy team starts going bad, it's, I'll get rid of the coach, and you only do that for someone better coming along. And I've got full support behind Christina and the team. I think they're doing a terrific job in very hard circumstances.
And they just won, didn't they? The Perth Scorchers women just won their first title. Big crowd.
Men come off a grand final loss.
Men last year, one day international winners. Sheffield Shield, not yet. But
reasonable
start.
They're around the mark. Obviously, they've played a few more games than the others. So there you go. Tony is a Whacker member. And guess what? He's got a different opinion of Mouse. Lo and behold. 133 882 is the number if you'd like to join us here on the program. Any more Whacker members out there? Are you happy? Are you hoping that things change, and what would you like to see? 133 882. More of your calls after this. It is 6:30. 30.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top-brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
27-7 and our number is 133-882. Don't be shy to join in. Wednesday, wine night and DM break of the world's best rock breakers, Hayes.
I want to have a wine, Carl. Something happened on the weekend that nobody cared about. Nobody even gave it a thought. It didn't get any coverage. And it's such a shame because at some point, the Davis Cup used to be the pinnacle of Australian tennis, and we'd all know about it. We'd have the touring team coming in, and it would be massive, the big crowds. But this is what Todd Woodbridge had to say today. The people that are making these decisions really need to take a look at themselves, because this event, I think, won't be with us in 5 years' time. If you've wrecked the most historic competition in the game, you probably have to resign and move on. Todd Woodbridge, strong comments there, and I agree with him. I think Davis Cup is done and dusted. Nobody in Australia gave two hoots about it on the weekend. It was played, we lost, many wouldn't have even known it was on, and it's so disappointing. And it got me thinking about which great sporting events that are now gone do you miss and that wish we could bring back? Do you have any off the top of your head?
Well, the one event that I used to love, and look, I got to broadcast it numerous times and interview a lot of the very great tennis players in the world in a lot more relaxed environment. And it was a knockout competition to a point, but it was also a competition whereby they got to play in teams, men and women, and represent their country. And Australia was involved. And I'm talking about the Hopman Cup. Mm. Why they got rid of the Hopman Cup is still beyond me. I'm still shaking my head. They've replaced it with this ATP Cup. Unfortunately, we are not going to get any ATP Cup this year because of our border stance. So they have fixed it to be played in other capital cities. But it was a wonderful tennis event and a great promotion for the game. We've heard a lot of promotion in the last few weeks around tennis, and adds 9.5 years to your life. I don't know how they work that out, but still, I'm prepared to give it a go if that's what it means. But Hopman Cup was always very well supported. It was unique and different in that you had a man and woman playing for their country, but they got to play against all the other teams in their group. So they got that important match practice as they headed then across to the Australian Tennis Open. And it was a really good way. Mm. And, mate, you know, you think about the players we had here. It's something that I really miss. And I reckon there'd be a lot of people out there that would agree with me. And normally, mate, it's played at this time of the year as well. Upcoming in the next few weeks, we'd be building up and promoting a Hopman Cup.
It was a highlight on the social calendar here in Western Australia. Mm. Do you think Davis Cup has run its race in this current format?
Well, I did Davis Cup as well on 6PR back at Kings Park when it was played.
It was big, wasn't it?
It was great. Yeah. And, you know, like when you consider that the blokes that were playing when I was doing it was Philip Poussis, and you had Rafter, and you had Leighton Hewitt, and you had all those guys on the court, as captains as Rafter has been and Leighton Hewitt currently is. They're actually playing on the tennis court. So, you know, from Woodford and Woodbridge and those guys, like they were playing the doubles. So we actually had a bloody good team. The way that they, and whoever's making the decisions at World Tennis are the ones that need to be held accountable here. I mean, we're just one pawn in the game. There's a lot of others that control it. And I suppose it's a little bit like, say, the cricket, in that, you know, I'd like to see bigger test series more consistent. Like, we play 5 tests against England, but why don't we then play 5 test series against a few of the other cricket nations? If you want to build the test championship, some test series are 3 tests, some are 4, some are 5. How do you work it out?
We should be doing against India now. India are now at that level that they came here and beat us last year. I think next time they come, it should be 5. And the sleeper is New Zealand. I think if New Zealand can continue their form, last time we played them on the big stage, it didn't go too well for them, but they're better than that. And I think the more they come here, experience our conditions, they, in time, won't be as big as the Ashes, but they'll be just behind India in terms of the relevance in world cricket. And that'd be massive for Australia. The other thing I miss, and you played it, is State of Origin. It's gone. You're trying to get it back. It's not coming back. And I think Davis Cup will go the same way. If you go this format for 2 or 3 years and it loses that mystique about it and that ability for it to capture the country's hearts, it won't come back after that because the players would have moved on and already some of the key players aren't going towards the Davis Cup. And that's what stopped State of Origin when the clubs came in and there was more clubs in each of the states.
I still do think we can get State of Origin back. I just, you know, and I do hope that the spirit is rekindled there. And if you can get the players to buy in and create a new income stream and get it broadcast. And, you know, if you think of the Dreamtime event that we had experienced this year, and for those that experienced it, 10,000 people marched from the Wacker across the bridge. I don't think there is any reason why we couldn't rekindle that sort of spirit when it came to State of Origin and start it here in Western Australia and let us start to promote it. I reckon we'd do a pretty good job. But there's plenty of other events that we used to have here that have gone, and there's plenty of other national events that we've had and we've lost. We're probably in that situation right now with the Australian Grand Prix in that... Mm. You know, if we don't start to get behind it and start to fixture it when it needs to be, then there's going to be others very quickly take it away from us. But 1-3-3-8-82, if there is an event that we've lost that you want rekindled, we'd love to hear your thoughts on that tonight.
What about Rally Australia, Carl? Well, remember going to that? Because that was big here in the West for a long time.
Yeah, so originally it was down on the foreshore, down near the river and the city of Perth. So what's the big little grassy knoll out the front along Riverside Drive? So it was actually there.
Langley?
And then Langley Park. Yeah, I think it's Langley Park. And then they moved it from there to Gloucester Park. So it was actually then raced at Gloucester Park. And I think when it finished here, that was the last race, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, if I'm losing my mind, but I'm pretty sure that the last race was there at Gloucester Park. I mean, the Red Bull Air Race was another one. Obviously, we had an accident whilst that event was on, but that was certainly a very popular event and attracted thousands and thousands of people into our city. Now we just have fireworks shows.
And they're losing a bit of their lust, aren't they?
Well, you know, like you pay $250,000 for fireworks. You might as well give that to the homeless people and get them off the street, in my opinion. You want to make it a worthwhile event. And we've had a lot of worthwhile events. And unfortunately, because of our population, our bargaining power, we just don't have as much bargaining power. It's a little bit like we've got another big race coming up this weekend in the Kingston Town Classic. We've got a $1.60 favourite in Western Empire. The Peters stable hopefully are looking for a clean sweep, which they've never done before. But it's $1 million. Now, you look at the Everest and these other races that have been created both now in New South Wales and Victoria, and you've got to remember that they've got 5-6 million populations in each of those cities, then they're always going to be able to put up a greater purse. And it comes down to, unfortunately, these days, as you would well and truly know, sport has become increasingly more business. It's business, business, business. Love to hear from you after this. 1-3-3-8-82 for Toolkit Depot. Top brands, ultimate range, pro service. More of your calls after this. It's 19 minutes to 7.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Okay, let's get to the calls. Plenty coming through. We'll try and get through you as quick as possible to Terry and Currumbine. G'day, Terry.
G'day, guys. How are you going? I just wanted to comment on Rally Australia. I used to be on the board of Rally Australia when it was here in Perth. Mark McGowan gave it away. There was no other reason than that to give it away. You mentioned earlier about the Formula One GP, or what do you call it, in Australia, and how other countries would like to get it. Well, just about every meeting we had about on Rally Australia, half of the time was spent dealing with attempts by other country to get it off us. And it was an enormous money spinner for us. It was just enormous. And it wasn't just on Langley Park and at the end in Gloucester Park. It was half of the events were out through the country areas, like Mundaring and down to Waroona and Broomhill, places like that. It was a great event for this state. And he just gave it away. He just decided that it wasn't any good, acting on the advice of someone, I don't know who. But it went.
So, Terry, what year was that? And where did it go? And where is it now?
Well, it was in 1996, I think, that it went, and I don't know where it went. I don't know where it went, and as far as I know, it doesn't exist. Mm. I think it might have gone over east for a very short time, not for long.
But you mentioned that Mark McGowan gave it away. He wasn't the one in control at that time.
Yes, he was. He was the Minister for Tourism.
Was he?
In the Labor government.
Yeah, right.
I know. I've got a letter from
him. 1996.
Wow.
I think it was 96 or 97, around about then.
Yeah.
But he just knew better than everyone else, and that was it. And he wouldn't take any advice in any other way at all. He was going to get rid of it, and he got rid of it. And he said, we're going to have the Red Bull event. Well, you know, whoopee-doo. I don't know what that did for the state, but it certainly didn't do what Rally Australia was doing. And the other thing about Rally Australia was that it had an audience, I believe, back then, of about 700 million people across the world who watched it. Now, what other way could you publicise Perth and Western Australia better than that? It was, you know, it was just a terrible decision on his part.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks for reigniting the flame there and giving us your insight, mate. We really appreciate it. And it's great to hear from someone who's really passionate about it. But it was a wonderful event, and I went to it a few times. And only, though, when I say going to it a few times, I only did the city legs where they were basically the manufactured tracks. But when you're winding through roads, through our hills and through our country areas, as Terry's just explained, that was certainly a big part of the event. Down to Mandra and Grant. Hello, Grant.
G'day, Carl.
What's going on?
G'day, boys. How you going?
Yeah, we're well. What about you? You well?
Yeah, oh, mate, I'm living the dream, mate. I live in Mandra, right? How's your mum and dad? They loved the caravan they bought from me. They must be enjoying it.
That's good, yeah. I hope so, too.
Caravans and RV, it's all good. But, mate, it's I love your enthusiasm, because we're all enthusiastic here in WA about getting all these events to WA, but yeah, the old classic, the old classic man, it's Mr. McGowan, mate. You're not going to get jack shit here. Like, yeah, but I'm behind all what you're saying, but as long as you got McGowan, you're going to get 5-8-0. Look at the cricket. That's an absolute disgrace. Absolute disgrace.
Well,
so,
no
wiggle room whatsoever, but it's going to open up 2 weeks after that anyway. Give me a break.
Yeah, I suppose we did get the AFL Grand Final and we did have the Dreamtime game. So we did get a couple of AFL events, but I'm of the view that what does it look like beyond the end of our school holidays, which pretty much is going to be the timeline, hopefully, that we reach 90%. And then what are we going to invest in from an events perspective? And what are going to be the protocols? We know that we're going to have to be vaccinated. We know that people that are going to come into our state are going to have to be vaccinated. It's going to be all around that, Hayes. It's what it now looks like when players or people contract COVID and what that means. Are we still going to have to stay home for 14 days? How's that part of our life going to work beyond when the country is open again? That's the bit that I don't yet know. I don't think anyone really knows. And if it keeps on offering up these different mutations, what does that look like? Thanks, Grant. But yeah, we are looking at sort of a little bit of the past here, I suppose, in a hypothetical way, as to what we've lost.
We were getting a few. Particularly soccer. We had Chelsea come. We had Man United come as well. They were big events here. And a lot of music acts too that were starting to come prior to COVID.
True. And they were all being played at this particular stadium here at Optus. Craig in Kinross. G'day, Craig.
Hey, guys. How are we?
Good.
I've got a few for you. Hop and Cup was probably one of the best events I've ever seen. That's one that we should rejuvenate. Chrissy Amphlett I saw at Rally Australia with the Divinals. And the other one was David Goldfield. What a legend. Love him. And I actually called up for a whinge on the Australian cricket team in how they treat our players. So I'll leave those three or four things for you.
So hang on. What do you mean by the Australian cricket team and how they treat their players? What do you mean by that?
Well, come on. Steve Smith, Warner and Bancroft were absolutely hung out to dry. If they were in India, they would have got one game suspension. And
well, the ICC, Craig, just on that point, the ICC did give him a one-match suspension, and then it was the outcry from the Australian cricketing public about them being cheats, being caught with sandpaper, and they felt that that was unsportsmanlike and it was un-Australian. And so it was really our Australian sporting system that brought them undone, and they wanted more severe penalties handed out. And subsequently, Cricket Australia were pretty much forced with their hand to act because of, you know, bringing the game into disrepute, and there are a number of other clauses under which they were charged under our sporting code here in Australia.
Try doing that with Collingwood and West Coast Eagles.
With regard to?
Anything. If, say, West Coast Eagles player did something, Collingwood player did something.
Well, cheating's different to taking drugs. Well, it is. It is. And essentially, look, Jordan De Goey, you know, he at the moment, he had some allegations thrown at him that weren't true, and they were withdrawn, and he's still facing the charge of assault, but that may well not be proven either. So, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, Craig. But, I mean, if you take drugs like speed and cocaine and get caught on match day, well, you get done for 2 years. If you do it in your private time, you don't get caught, well, you move on. Let's go to Norma and Kelmscott. Speaking of moving on, g'day. Norma!
The Red Bull Air Race was brilliant for me. I used to take all my grandkids to the, I forget what the name of the hotel down in South Perth, and we'd stay the weekend, and oh, the kids loved it. We had people from all over the world come and sit on our balcony and watch that show. That was brilliant. And we need something like that back again.
Well, so what do you suggest, Norma?
Well, I might have to talk to Mark McGowan, mightn't I?
Yeah.
What's wrong with some sort of an air race? It doesn't have to be from overseas. Can't we do it? I know a lot of people that own their own planes down in Ferguson Valley. They could come up and have a bit of an air race and demonstrate a bit of fun on the river.
How many years do we have the air race for?
A few.
Norma?
How many what?
How many years did we have it for?
I reckon about 4 or 5 years. I'm not sure.
It seems like
but
the ideal
when
sport.
When that accident happened, that's when it stopped.
To rotate
but,
it around.
I just thought it was a wonderful thing because my grandkids loved it.
Mm.
And on the Sunday, or I think it was Sunday, we used to go up to Kings Park and watch from up there.
Yeah, it would have been enormous. There's certain cities that I think it's really conducive to, and we're one of those. And for that reason, I think it should move around amongst five of the most pristine cities right on the water, which would be ideal. And that way, you know, you maximise the exposure every time it does come to that city.
We had it here in 6, 7, 8 and 10 by the looks of it. Oh, no, here we go. No, we didn't. We had it for longer than that. We had it Swan River. 6, 7, 8 and 10, I think.
So if you had that every 5 years, it would be ideal, wouldn't it, in my opinion?
Yeah, so 2006 to 2010, by the looks of my little chart here. Might be wrong, but anyway, that is close enough. We have more to do. Now, Hayes, what did you make of the scenario when it comes to the, in fact, we'll clear it. We'll clear that commitment. Be back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top-brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome to Sports Day, and it's nice to have your company in this next hour. And chats with mates. I think Adam Voges is our mate, Hayes, even though he's the WA cricket coach and he's got a really tough job. Australia's most satisfied customers, MBM, from just $59. Voges, welcome. How are you going?
Evening, guys. Yeah, going very well, thanks. Yeah, definitely mates, I would have thought.
Yeah. Now, Ashton Turner today, captain of the Scorchers. Looking forward to that getting underway. I know that there's a few hiccups maybe in the road ahead, but, mate, he did really well last year. He led the team when there were some issues, of course, with injury, and you made the final without winning it.
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah, really pleased to be able to announce Astor today as captain. And to make it official, he did a terrific job last year when he stepped in on the eve of the tournament when Mitch was under an injury cloud and then continued on throughout the whole season. So, yeah, for Astor to be officially announced today, I think tactically he's very astute. And that's really important to have a good leader out there, particularly in T20 cricket. So, he'll do a great job for us. And, yeah, obviously nice to make that official today.
Pretty different build-up, this one, to the Big Bash. Of course, you've had a few players over there with Australia that just got released, Inglis and Mitch Marsh and Ashton Agar as well. You've got Colin Munro and Curtis Patterson that won't be here until the day of the game. And, of course, you've got your squad that were working pretty hard today.
Yeah, that's right, Hayes. It's it'll certainly be a different preparation. As you mentioned, we'll have three guys. Laurie Evans is over in Sydney as well, so we won't see him, Colin Munro, or Curtis Patterson until a couple of hours before the game next Wednesday. We've had a couple of the guys come back from quarantine in Brisbane, and it was really nice to see them today. And then we've obviously got Jai Richardson getting ready for the Ashes as well. So a few guys in all parts of the country at the moment. But, yeah, had a really good intra-squad hit out today, which was great for the guys to get started.
Who did well? Did anyone put their name up in lights for selection?
Yeah, it was a really good hit out today. Some really promising performances. Nick Hodgson scored 90 not out. Aaron Hardy, 86 off 41 balls. So some really, really strong performances with the bat from those two guys. And then, yeah, some really nice execution at the back end from Berendorf, from AJ Ty, and from Matt Kelly as well. So, yeah. All good, no injuries, which is the most important thing sometimes in these practice games.
I'm excited by the spin twins. That's what we're going to call them this year. Astor Agar back in the fold, missed a lot of last year. And your new recruit, Peter Hadzoglu, who's come in, he was impressive last year. Getting the two together is going to be instrumental, I think, for your chances.
Yeah, I certainly think so as well, Hayes, and particularly if we are Eastern States bound for the majority of the tournament, which could be the case. So, yeah, Peter had a good bowl today, had a wicket on his first ball, given not out. But, no, he looked good today. And Ashton Agar, we're obviously really pleased to be able to get Ash back. We missed him for the whole tournament last year, and we're certainly a better team with him in it. So those two in combination are going to be really important, as you say.
Did somebody get a diamond duck today, but you allowed them to stay in?
Yeah, Nick Hobson could have been a very different day for Hobbo. He got burnt by the skipper coming back for a second. So I try not to interfere in these practice games, but I was pretty keen to see Nick have a bat today, and getting run out without facing a ball would have been a travesty.
The other bloke that's critical to your success, I think, is Josh Inglis. Is he likely to be there? We're hearing a bit about Alex Carey being selected for the Australian cricket team to replace Tim Payne. What can you tell us?
Yeah, we're just waiting to hear the official announcement. Josh came back home today. He was part of our induction today, and it was really nice to see him. We haven't seen those guys for a period of time now, so I'm sure there'll be an official announcement sooner rather than later. If Josh isn't in the test team, then he'll certainly play in the Australia A game against the England Lions at the same time as the test. And if that is the case, then we'll see him in orange a bit later on. So we'll just wait and see.
Well, I personally don't think that he's going to be in the team. But how were they mentally, Agar, Marsh and Inglis, after you've had a yak to them, given that they've been locked up for 14 days? Pretty good?
Yeah, they were pretty happy to be home, that's for sure. So, no, they're great. They only got back yesterday, straight off the plane. They were happy to come in and see the boys today, which is great. We'll give them a pretty quiet week in terms of their commitments and just make sure that they get to spend some time at home with their families and freshen up mentally as much as anything, as well as physically. And obviously looking forward to having all three of them at some point during our campaign. They'll all be pretty important to us.
Hey, when it comes to the national scene, are you asked by the national selectors, maybe Justin Langer, who you know very well, to play players in certain positions, bat them in certain spots so that they can essentially be groomed for maybe what lies ahead? Just say in Josh Inglis's case, as we use him as just an example?
We have pretty good conversations with the selectors, in particular with George Bailey, with JL, and speak about our players a lot. In terms of position of batting and that sort of stuff, that's very much left up to us. But yeah, certainly want to try and give those guys as great an opportunity as possible. And we saw last year with the Scorchers with the three internationals at the top of the order, although it works incredibly well for us. Giving a few of our local guys that opportunity, I think, will be important this year. And I'm sure you'll see a few more of our local guys a bit further up the order.
How is the fitness of Jason Behrendorf and Lance Morris, the other one who had the side strain?
Yeah, Jason's good. He was unfortunately sick and didn't make the trip to Tasmania for the Marsh Cup game, but bowled a beautiful over in the last over in the inter squad today and defended 10 and took one for four in that last over. So he's building nicely. He'll be ready to go. Lance has a side strain, as you said, and he'll probably miss the first few games of the Big Bash. We're certainly hopeful by the time we come back to Perth for a game on the 20th of December that he'll be putting his hand up for selection then. So a little bit of time out for him, but looking forward to having him back at some stage.
Pressure on Tuvoji because of what the women did. Of course, they're the number one team in town right now when we're talking about cricket.
It was brilliant. I was at the game on Saturday and really pleased to see the girls lift the trophy, and I think just the excitement and just seeing the way that they really celebrated and enjoyed it and were having fun, and brings back memories of past success for us and that feeling that you do get when you play well enough to win the tournament. So maybe a bit of extra pressure, but certainly not. It's a nice incentive for the boys to play well too.
Just quickly, one more spot to fill from an import perspective. Any thoughts?
I think we're announcing that very soon. I don't know if Ashton Turner gave it away today at his press conference.
Well, come on, give it away. Tell us.
I won't give you a name, but it'll be a fast bowler who played for England in the recent World Cup. So I'll let you guys work that bit out, and the official announcement will come on Friday, I believe.
All right. I am going to have to go into my, as Hayes picks up his phone, and have a look. Hey, good luck, mate. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Take care.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Adam Voges there, Australia's most satisfied customers. NBN from just $59. You can search Mate online. Scorchers in action against Brisbane Heat here at Optus next Wednesday. First ball to be bowled at 6:35 p.m. Western Standard Time. Tickets available through Ticketmaster. We want to see a big crowd get behind our team. Unfortunately, game two has been moved. Hayes, who is it?
Well, Carl, I think it could be Tymal Mills.
I reckon you're 100% correct, Hayes, and he will be heading west to join our Perth Scorchers. We need to clear a commitment, and on the other side, we'll come back and have a chat to Mitch McCarron, who is the captain of the Adelaide 36ers, taking on our Perth Wildcats at RAC Arena on Friday night.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top-brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company here on this Wednesday night. And it's also nice to have Mitch McCarron, who's in town. The Adelaide 36ers forced to fly from Tassie after winning the Blitz straight into Perth. They've been here, I think, since Sunday. Mitch, is that right? Welcome, mate. How are you going?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. We've been in town for a few days now, so ready for Friday.
At least you've been allowed to move around and haven't been locked in your room like what might have to be endured by some at some point. But, look, it's a really good blitz that your team have come off. You won every single game, including a couple against the Perth Wildcats you're going to take on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it is pre-season and some guys are resting and guys are getting some of their injuries right, so you can't really take too much out of it in terms of what that'll look like for the rest of the season. But it was good for us to get a lot of different guys on floor and get some confidence behind the way that we want to play and uphold some of our standards, and then we'll just add more and more stuff in as the real stuff comes along.
Our listeners know CJ Bruton pretty well, given he spent some time here at the Wildcats. How has he been since he's taken up the post?
Yeah, he's been great. Obviously a first-year coach and, you know, that's pretty challenging, you know, to come in, and we're a relatively inexperienced and young group as well. So there's a big challenge ahead for him, but I think he's done a good job of just having good conversations with people about what his expectations are for them individually and as a team. And obviously he can relate to what it's like as a player, as a young player in this league, as a veteran in this league. as a national team player that has expectations to perform night in, night out. So, he's a great reference point for that stuff too.
What about for you, Mitch? What was the key reason for you going to the Adelaide 36ers on the back of winning that championship last year with Melbourne United?
There's a lot of different things that go into it. It's an exciting opportunity to take hold of the group that I mentioned before. You know, a bit inexperienced and pretty new, and a lot of young guys that, you know, are going to go on and probably do better things than I'll ever do in my career. So it's a cool opportunity for me to be a part of that and help them develop. As a, you know, I get the vet card now within this group at 29 years old, which is sweet. So, I'm enjoying the new challenge.
Now that's all said and done, would you have beaten the Wildcats last year if they weren't so banged up?
of course.
Good answer, mate. What about the imports? Dusty Hannes and also Todd Withers, the two that have come into your group.
We love them. They both bring very different things. And, we've got a little bit of a taste already of what Dusty can do when he gets fired up. And we get to see it in practice, you know, all the time. Just an incredible shooter and an underrated scorer off the dribble as well. And I think he's going to really be an entertaining guy for this league. And Todd is a bit of your do-it-everything guy, you know, can make a shot, can put it on the floor. He's a great athlete, a great defensive guy for us as well. So, we're super glad to have them a part of the group.
You got a good roster. Daniel Johnson there too, Cam Bairstow. But people are a bit excited about this Kai Sotto, the Filipino wonder kid. Tell us a bit more about him and how good he's going to be in the league.
I think he's going to be really good. He's got a pretty special skill set that, he briefly flashed with a couple of plays early in the blitz. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see a lot of him just while he's getting his body right. But, he's able to do some things that, you know, as a guy who's, I think he's 7'3" or whatever he is, that probably shouldn't be able to do. So, we're super excited about him. He's super young as well. So, you know, I know everyone wants, you know, the 18-year-olds to be able to do everything right here and now. But I think give him some time and get used to this league and the bodies and how we play. I think he's going to be great.
Now, you would have played against some tall opponents in your time. And Kai at 7'3" is 218 centimetres. But Liu Xuanxing, who's going to be playing for the Bullets, is 226 centimetres, the 22-year-old centre that's playing for them. He's 7'5", the biggest bloke to ever play. I mean, mate, you're going to be looking up a long way here.
Well, yeah, I got a couple of screens from old mate the other day. They didn't feel too great. That's going to be that Brisbane squad. They've got a couple of big fellas on there with Jack Salt as well. So I'm sure they're going to have some sore bodies after playing the Bullets.
Well, I saw Xuanxing's highlight reel the other day in one of the matches. And, mate, he was just stepping over a couple of players. I mean, he's got some moves too for a big man.
Oh, yeah. I think he's going to be good for them. I'm not within their group. I wouldn't know what their plans are in terms of rotations or minutes-wise, but he did flash that, you know, in limited amounts of time, you know, you can throw the ball down to him. He knows what he's doing. It's not like a guy who can't catch or, you know, has pretty decent footwork down there and has a little bit of touch around the rim. Obviously, teams are going to try and make him run as much as they can when he's out there, because if it's a height battle or a jumping battle, he's probably going to lose.
Sunday Desh, we saw a little bit of him when he was at the Perth Wildcats. Not enough, though, and he wanted more opportunity. He went to your team. Is he going to find that opportunity this season?
Yeah, I think Sunday's going to have a really big year. I've said that from early in the preseason, just coming into Adelaide and seeing how hard and in shape he was, how hard he was working. And I know he was a bit disappointed with how last year went in terms of the team and also himself individually. He just felt like he didn't really get the most out of himself. And we've seen what Sunday can do in this league on, you know, when he was in Perth and that year that he had in Illawarra. So I think he's going to be really exciting. And we know he's a guy that plays both ends of the floor and has a huge impact on whether we win games or not. So I'm excited for him.
Hey, Mitch, how's it been for the team following Josh Giddey into the NBA? Of course, he was with your team last year. I must believe it would be surreal to see him doing so well over there.
Yeah, it's awesome. I had a little bit to do with the Giddies in Melbourne, when I was there and would see Warrazo all the time. And, it's awesome. It's awesome to see another young Aussie kid doing well. And, you know, the more Aussies in the NBA and the better. And it helps our national team and it helps inspire younger kids within the country to see that, you know, Aussie kids can get there. I mean, obviously Josh is pretty special at a 6'8" point guard, but, it's exciting to see more young Australians doing great in basketball.
What about basketball in South Australia? Do you think that will give it a bit of a rev up? We're lucky here. We've had the Perth Wildcats. They've been very successful. They sell out a lot of their games. What about over there? How popular is it right now? And do you see it growing?
Yeah, I think there's room for growth. I mean, Adelaide's always loved their basketball, you know, as long as I can remember it, you know, especially coming on the road. And, you know, we played against some pretty good Adelaide teams when I was with the Cairns Taipans years ago now. And, you know, it was a loud place. Team was really, fans were really behind the team. And, you know, they know their basketball as well. So, you know, we've seen in the last few years, you know, young kids come over here, do well, go on to bigger and better things. And they create a little fandom out here, whether it was LaMelo Ball or RJ Hampton or whoever it was. And, you know, the latest one is Josh Giddey, which is awesome for our country that it's a guy that's an Australian kid. So, yeah, I think there's definitely a buzz left behind by how Josh played. And I thought the Sixers looked really good until they had some injuries last year and kind of killed their run towards the finals. But hopefully we can bring that buzz back.
We are chatting to Mitch McCarron, if you've just joined us here on Sports Day. He is the Adelaide 36ers captain and taking on our Perth Wildcats here at the Jungle on Friday night. You probably get them at the right time, mate, too. They've got a lot of issues with injury. We know that Mitch Norton's not going to be playing. He'd probably be in their starting five. Vic Law looks like a player. Bryce Cotton obviously wasn't there last season to take you on come the end of the season, but he's up and about and playing what looks like a bit of a different role under their new coach, Scotty Morrison. You must be looking forward to getting inside the arena here, which can be a little bit daunting given how big the crowd usually is and how much they're normally against you.
It's probably one of my favourite places to play on the road, because you know what you're going to get. You know, you get a live crowd that's into the game and they love their team, and you're always going to hear it when you do something wrong, and when you do something well, you just like hearing the place go quiet. You know, that's the game you want to be a part of. You know, if you're a professional player, you want that atmosphere because it's fun, you know, and I think it's also that expectation, you know, the history that Perth has had and the success that they've had. You know that the fans are going to come here expecting a win and that the team is going to be good. So, you know, it's a game that you have to get up for every single time. So, yeah, I'm really excited about it. Obviously, it's a new group for myself playing with Adelaide, and you know, a lot of guys haven't played in Perth before and haven't experienced, you know, what that is, and it's going to be fun.
And then, I'm presuming, Saturday morning, mate, you'll be on the kite home because you've got another appointment on Sunday at the Adelaide Entertainment Centre against the Illawarra Hawks.
Yep. It doesn't stop from there. I think we've got a fair few games flying up on us, which is a quick start to the season. And, you know, obviously, you know, everything is on Friday first. You know, we have to try and get that win first, and then we'll move on to Sunday. But yeah, we've got someone like the Hawks coming in who have a really strong roster as well. And we're trying not to get ahead of ourselves and look at that right now. We've just got to focus on Friday. But yeah, it's going to be a tough first round for us, for sure.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight, Mitch. Good luck, mate. And we will hopefully have a chat to you down the track. It'll be nice to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Good on you. Mitch McCarron there, the captain of the Adelaide 36ers. And get along to the Wildcats too. I see that there were still a few tickets left, $20 to get in and go and see that big game on Friday night. Toolkit Depot, top brands, ultimate range, pro service, back after the break. And we're going to have a chat to Alex Epicus. He is the coach of our Perth Glory women's team. They're in action on the weekend.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Let's get into our Football Nation update for Pipe Makers, a leading manufacturer of plumbing pipe and electrical conduits. And joining us from our Perth Glory women's team is their coach, Alex Epicus. Welcome, Alex. How are you going, mate?
Very well, thank you.
Big game coming up on Saturday at Macedonia Park too. Going to be nice to get the girls' season underway.
Yeah, look, we're very excited. It's been a very good pre-season and the girls are really, really excited to now put everything we've been doing into practice.
Now, when it comes to the road ahead, we've been talking to, well, just recently, Tony Pignata, the CEO, about what the men's road looks like, and they might not be home until the 15th of January. Do you have much clarity around what your season looks like? I know that you're able to go up to Brisbane Roar and play the return bout over there in Brisbane on Friday, December 10, but then Canberra United, Adelaide United, and then a return bout on the 2nd of January again against Adelaide. A little bit of that looks difficult.
Yeah, I mean, logistically, there's a few issues there potentially with the border situation. Look, we don't have any clarity at this stage, but what we learned from last season is that we need to expect the unexpected. I think 14 weeks in a row last year didn't go according to schedule. So if anything, we've learned to be really quick and our ability to pivot and be agile in certain moments was something we learned the hard way last year. But hopefully this season, that sort of dynamic means that we're more prepared and able to deal with it when things change.
It was a tough year last year. What can we expect this season from a game style perspective?
Yeah, look, I think last season was tough for a number of reasons. However, you know, this season we've been able to secure some really exciting players. They're fantastic people on and off the field, and they're really going to contribute and help us execute the playing style that we want, which is dynamic, quick and forward. I would say that they're probably the key words that we look to incorporate as much as possible, and I think it'll be a really exciting brand of football that people enjoy watching.
And for you, you get a chance to really stamp your style and also some of those recruits, because last year for you it was pretty tough with a lot of the squad already locked in.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you bring in players, it's important that, as I mentioned, you do your due diligence and you have a really clear understanding of what they can do on the field, but also what they can bring to the team environment off the field. And look, a lot of time went into ensuring that we brought in players that are first and foremost really proud and excited to represent Perth Glory, whether they were from here in WA or interstate or overseas. And then obviously the on-field quality, you know, you can't replace experience and certain ability in positions, but we're certainly in a good position this year going forward in comparison to last year.
Alex, tell me about the discussions that I believe you and the club owner Tony Sage had with Matilda great Lisa Devanna as she chases another title. And of course, she's played at a very high level and very well too for our Matildas. And she last played with Melbourne Victory in domestic football. She's 37. She's got a wealth of experience, so even her knowledge will be great. But what were the conversations that you and Tony had with her to convince her to play for the club in her home state?
I think what you just said sounded pretty good to me. Look, we weren't too far off. You know, what you sort of just summarised is outlining the quality that she's got. And we just said we can really utilise and tap into that and help foster and use that experience to create a better environment for the players that we've got coming through. We've got a young squad. So someone with all that experience and all those achievements, the opportunity to help be a mentor and really play a key part in these younger players' careers was something that we knew Lisa would really resonate with. And, you know, sort of one thing led to another. She was training in a casual basis, so to speak. And then before you know it, she was training every day, kept coming to sessions, early morning sessions, mind you. And then, that's how it all started to really take place. And now we're here and we're very excited to have her.
Alex, we saw the Matildas in action last night. What about this young group? Who are some of those potentials that in time may push for that sort of selection heading towards the World Cup next year?
Yeah, look, we've got quite a number of players from the under-20 national team, and that's the team that sort of underpins the Matildas at a senior level. So I would say that we have a big handful of players who I believe in the next couple of seasons will be you know, household names and likely to be in and around the Matildas mix. And, you know, I don't want to single players out because obviously development is a roller coaster and everyone has their own story about you know, their trajectory. But we all know about the local talents of Hannah Lowry. You know, she's a fantastic player at the age of 18. What she can do in a game and how she understands the game is really impressive for a young athlete. But there's a few other young players going through. Alana Janszewski. We've got Tian McKenna. Yeah, there's Sophia Sakala, Susan Fong-Songkam. We've got a really nice group of young, dynamic and exciting players.
And you do have to nail your imports. How are they? Have they got in okay? Have they mixed well with the team? Because you're going to need some strike force, really, to partner with Lisa Devanna.
Yeah, so fair point. We've got... Mia Lefjan's got out of quarantine yesterday in Adelaide, and Yeah, she only just stepped foot in Perth soil last night. We're hoping to integrate her as much as we can and as quickly as we can, but we've just got to be mindful of, you know, what she's been through in the last 2 weeks sitting in a hotel room. It's not really conducive to being able to be involved in high-performance activity straight away, but we'll assess her. We've also got Sierra Hinson, our American striker. She's still in quarantine. She gets out just after the first round. And again, we'll assess her when she's out and about and see how quickly we can involve them in a safe way within the squad.
It's tough for you, isn't it? Because they're clearly two pretty important players that you want to get in there very quickly. But maybe a phone call with Daniel Sturridge would be nice between the three of them.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, I think it's just such an important balancing act because we worked very hard to secure the services of these players and we certainly want them involved. But we also want to make sure we get it right for the, you know, through the entirety of the season. And we won't want to do anything that puts that at risk.
Now, Macedonia Park, I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you've played there before. I think it's a new venue, isn't it? 705, it's a nice family-friendly venue. I know that. It's fantastic from a viewing perspective. 705 kick-off on Saturday night. They can come and enjoy it. But I don't think you've played an A-League game there before, have you?
No, as you mentioned, it's a new venue, but it's one which, for me, really stood out as an ideal place when we were looking for venues. The club themselves and the people involved within that field and that venue were very accommodating and really wanted us to be there. And it's got great resources and it's, as you said, a great family venue. And that's, you know, they're the type of words and people where we want to really resonate with. So we're very excited to play there.
Good luck on Saturday night, Alex. Thank you very much for your time.
Really appreciate it, gents. Thank you.
Alex Epicus, the Perth Glory women's coach, up against the Brisbane Roar Saturday night, Macedonia Park. You can go to perthglory.com.au to buy yourself some tickets and head along and see that game. We'll be back in a moment to have a chat to Mark Allen. Got some really interesting news in the world of golf. Manufactured here in WA, you can ask for suppliers for pipe makers products or go to pipemakers.com.au. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top-brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Let's get into our golf segment for Barrow Day because the little things are everything. And the man who joins us in the Twilight Zone, 3AW's Twilight Zone, if you're ever over in Victoria, someday we'll be allowed over, Mark Allen. Welcome to the show, mate. How are you going?
Cal Hayes, I'm well. We've had a couple of nice days over here and It's been good to get out in the golf course. Plenty happening.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, last week we spoke about how much money was up for grabs in some of the tournaments next year, which is astounding, really. And for just tweeting, there is so much money that's available. Just give our audience, for those that maybe weren't listening last week, a little bit of an idea of what that looks like.
Well, there's a player impact program. That's what it's called. And what it basically is the most... if you get a lot of action on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, they will reward you with a share of last year, $40 million. This year, for tweeting, you'll get a share of $50 million. Think about that, seriously. $50 million put on the table by the PGA Tour for tweeting and posting. It is outrageous. Unbelievable. Boys, boys and girls, if you're listening... keep practicing.
Do you think
there
a lot
so
of sports?
In the world of golf.
Do you think a lot of sports will go down that path? Because it does make a lot of sense for me that obviously eyeballs looking at tweets and the like. It is advertising in a sense. So the more you can draw, the more I think players should be rewarded for doing that.
Do you guys watch TV anymore? I don't. I don't watch too much TV. I'm streaming everything. I watch the news on Channel 9, of course, and that's about it. That is about it. So. Twitter is a big factor, streaming, all the digital stuff that you see, you know, the stuff that pops up, absolutely, it's all connected. Everything is connected. It is outrageous. And the money they're playing for on the PGA Tour and the tennis these days, I mean, the Players' Championship coming up in March, they're playing the total purse, $20 million. $20 million US dollars. It's $30 million Australian dollars almost once they do all the changing. It is unbelievable. And the winner gets 18% of that. So, like I said, keep practicing, boys and girls. Plenty of good money in golf.
plenty of West Aussies doing very well that I think in time we'll get a share, a fair piece of that. What about Greg Norman? Has he copped any backlash for what he's trying to do on the back of a lot of these price increases?
Yeah, look, I think in reality what's happened is Greg Norman's ambition of this world tour, he's had it for a long, long time. In fact, when he tried to bring it in all those years ago in the 90s, that's when the World Golf Championship events, the WGC, started. And there's usually been about eight a year. I think the European Tour and the US Tour, they're right across what's going on now with this Emirates money and the Arab money. And I think it's going to work out well in the long term. Someone told me today, who I trust, that 25 people have put their hand up for the first tournament. Now, that's staggering because if you're on the US Tour, you've got to ask permission to play other places. So if you're going home to play in the Australian Open, the Australian PGA, and you're Australian, it's normally no big deal. But they made it really clear, particularly the commissioner, they made it really clear that they didn't want anybody going on this tour. And they, you know, they call it the Rebel Tour. So they didn't want anybody. But from what I understand today, 25 US Tour players have put up their hand to say they're participating. Now, that might mean that the US Tour have said, yeah, okay, you can go. Because I can't believe that there'd be players willing to risk their PGA Tour card. I really can't. So, look, just sit tight. Let's see what happens. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow a deal has been done. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know this, by the way. But it makes sense to have big money tournaments in every corner of the globe.
Competition is good, isn't it, to have that money up there for all the players to get their fair share. And one player will be Minwoo Lee, who nears the top 50. How much money will Minwoo, you think, make across his career?
Well, look, if he can stay in the top 50 in the world for a long period of time, it guarantees you, you know, if the bloke who's finishing 50th guarantees you probably when you add in all the bonuses, all the sponsorships, $5 million US a year. So if he can do that for 20 years, it's $100 million.
Mm.
So that's the deal. He's 22 years old. No mean feat to do what this kid's done. To actually win that Victorian Open a couple of years ago, go across, have a year of COVID, win, I think it was at the Scottish or the Irish Open, it was one of those. Did well in the Emirates tournament as well. I think he won another one there and now finds himself in the top 50 in the world. Now, this is the golden ticket. This is the Willy Wonka. We get you into everything. Now, he's almost there. It's by year's end, if he can stay in the top 50 in the world, then he gets into all the majors next year. He'll get into all the WGC events next year, the Players' Championship. And you know, if he plays well in just those events, that'll get him his card on the PGA Tour. So he's big time in the European Tour. I mean, I think he finished top 10 in the race to Dubai. So if he can now springboard from there into the top 50 and have a ripping 2022, and I think he's capable. We spoke to him earlier this week in the Golf Australia podcast. I love the kid. I reckon his head's in the right place. He's got a big time game. And the cherry on top, fellas, he's a superstar human as well. So very exciting for this kid.
If you want to go and have a listen to that interview, golf.org.au, and the podcast is called Inside the Ropes, which Mark Allen hosts with Tiffany Cherry. You can have a listen to that interview with Minwoo Lee. Now, mate, the Cranbourne course, I don't know what it's like. Maybe you can tell me. It's going to host the Australian Amateur. That's a nice feather in the cap, I would have thought.
Yeah, Cranbourne's hosted a Vic Open here and there. It's a very good golf course. The same person, remember Huntingdale Golf Club, where it used to hold
yes.
the Masters?
Yep.
So the same architect did that golf course. Look, it's the Australian Amateur, mate. Honestly, it is a fantastic event to win. You know, you can really hang your hat on that one, and sponsorship will just come your way as well once you turn pro. But look, Cranbourne's a fantastic little golf course. And, you know, it'll be well supported down that way as well. They'll get big crowds.
Now, the Tiger Woods interview, what did you make of that?
It was a good one, wasn't it? I mean, it's nice to hear him. I mean, he's over there. To hear him talk about playing golf was good. Just two tournaments a year, I'm disappointed. I reckon, you know, he'll get himself back into shape and maybe play five or six would be just fantastic. But I don't think he can just play two. You know, I reckon if you get yourself into shape, you might be able to. The real question will be, will the PGA Tour let him use a cart. They've done it before with other players. You know, it was interesting. It was actually interesting to hear him say that he almost lost his leg. You know, you hear the media saying those things, but quite, you know what the media's like, boys. You know, quite often they can beat stuff up.
I reckon, like, if you're going to use a cart, you should have to have a beer every second hole, because then he actually fits into our category. So if you're going to use a cart, there has to be an advantage. There also has to be a disadvantage, I reckon, Marco.
Yeah, I don't mind that. They normally take the roof off, you know. That's what they do. They take the roof off so you're out in the open air. Yeah, you get hot, you get sunburned, you get all that sort of stuff. So they do try and even it up. We've seen it done before. I don't reckon Tiger's the sort of person to ask for it, but, look, that question's being, bandied around at the moment.
Who's been caddying for Tony for now?
Well, some billionaire who's just bought the Utah Jazz. So Tony's obviously making friends. And he's off to the Bahamas, and one of his mates, I don't know, who knows what it is, who knows the relationship, but put his hand up to caddy for Tony Finau. I reckon that'd be a magnificent job. That'd be the best job. That'd be the best job in the business, I reckon, caddying for him. It's such an easygoing character. Just the way he hits the board would be a dream, just to walk around cleaning his clubs. It really would be.
And just lastly, before we let you go, mate, because we know you're busy tonight, so thank you very much for your time. Yep. We really appreciate it. Jeff Ogilvie and Matt Griffin return to their junior home at the Cheltenham Golf Club on Monday, Arvo, and they share their support for public golf, which is fantastic, giving a bit back.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, public golf, you know, I think golf gets a bad name. I think a lot of people think it's just for rich people. It's not. And you guys know that better than anybody. There are thousands, and I mean that, thousands of little golf courses right around this country where people learn to play the game, and they've got to be supported. And there's a bit of a push to close a few down here in Melbourne and to try and help alleviate that. These guys have gone back to where they started playing at Cheltenham, and I think it's just fantastic for the support.
Thanks for your time tonight. Take care, mate. We'll speak to you hopefully next week.
Pleasure, guys. Take it easy.
Good on you. Mark Allen there from the Twilight Zone, former golf pro, does a great job. Just remember, inside the rope, so we can have a listen to Min-Woo Lee strutting his stuff with the team, with Tiffany Cherry and Mark Allen. Golf.org.au is where you'll find that. For Baron O'Day, don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything. I'll come back and tell you what's coming up tomorrow here on Sports Day after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top-brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Now, just recapping some of the news that has unfolded tonight here on Sports Day. Tymal Mills joining our Perth Scorchers as the new overseas signing. You can expect that to be the news in the coming days. And Josh Inglis told that he is not going to be in our first test team. So that spot behind the stumps has been won by Alex Carey for now. Ashton Turner announced as captain of our BBL team today after leading them into the final last season, losing to the Sydney Sixers, I think it was, in the end. Justin Langer heading to Tassie to meet with Tim Payne. That was on compassionate grounds. The NBL has announced that COVID replacements for player rules, that is very interesting. Some players might play for multiple teams on the back of that scenario. We had a chat to Alec Epicus earlier on this hour, and our women's team to play the Brisbane Roar this weekend. And that is a great opportunity for you to get behind them at a new venue too, Macedonia Park. Now, Glenn Maxwell, he's the only player too that's been retained for the IPL for the Royal Challengers Bangalore. $2 million he will be paid, down from $2.5 million. I feel sorry for him. He's going to have a hole in his pocket, and the AFLW fixtures will be released tomorrow. We'll hopefully have a chat to the head of the AFLW, that is Nicole Livingston. If not, we'll have a local focus of our teams here. Mitch Marsh will join us tomorrow. We'll have an NBL season preview, looking forward to that. And hopefully we will touch base with Brett Patton, the CEO of Tennis West. We were hoping to have a yak to him last week, but he had a private family situation that forbid him from joining us, and we'll do our chase for charity. But coming up next here on 882 6BR is Todd Johnston. He is going to take you through until midnight here on 882 6BR, and Hayes and I will be back from 6 o'clock tomorrow. We'll see you then.